independent voice for Houston sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by Destination Brian. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joining us right now, the athletic director here at Texas A&M University, Ross Bjork, rejoining the show. We haven't seen you in a couple years, huh?
It's been 2 years. Yeah. I was here about a month and a half. I just started in July of 2019, and then you guys were here for fall camp. So now it's 2 years later. Man, it goes by fast.
So tell us everything that's happened since then.
Gee, is anything going on? any questions out there?
So,
well, I mean, look, when we met 2 years ago, right, on this very stage right here, it was about, hey, would you ever play University of Texas in football?
Right.
And, you know, what have you learned since you've been here about that rivalry? And will that game ever – I remember you guys were asking, and I said,
yeah,
hey, look, I've only been here like 6 weeks, but I have learned that we do not want to play the University of Texas. We have moved on.
Yeah.
The schedules are set out until like 2030 and all this kind of stuff, right? That just goes to show you that college athletics is evolving. It changes – pretty much every single day, every single hour, and here we are. And obviously, they saw the wisdom of our choice going to the SEC.
Right.
Yeah, they followed our lead, and here we go. So
we felt for you, and I felt for the in your comments, which, you know, they were captured on video.
Yeah.
And they were put out there. And I don't want to say you had to walk them back. You got to do what you got to do. It's a conference, and it is what it is. But I did personally, as somebody who grew up here, my dad coached in the Southwest Conference. When I grew up as a kid, people either said, what are you? Are you an Aggie or Longhorn? Well, I'm neat. I'm a Cougar. My dad's at U of H. And then,
yeah,
you know, the Baylor fan. It was a big,
yeah,
deal at Southwest Conference. But I thought it was really cool in 2011 when the Aggies moved and they had a chance to really define their own relationship. And we know what happened with Longhorn Network and all that stuff. That's in the past now. But I really like the opportunity for University of Texas. And I kind of felt for you when you were making your comments, because I think, you know, I understood where you're,
yeah,
coming,
right,
from,
yeah,
and I think,
right,
it was an honest comment, and
right,
I felt,
right,
like,
yeah, yeah,
most Aggie fans felt that,
yeah,
way.
Yeah, like, and look, it was in the moment, right? I mean, there's emotion around,
yeah,
decisions like this, especially with how things kind of ended in the Big 12. A lot of emotion over Texas A&M and the University of Texas and all those dynamics that were happening back in 2010-11.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and if you look at how sort of Texas has been a conference partner, they've dominated the Big 12 conference, and that led to the breakup, right? And so it was like, hey, wait a second. Do we really want that back in our league? Like, so you really, what you had to do in that moment, Lance, was, okay, you can disagree with the how,
mm-hmm,
but you really, when you take a step back, you can't disagree with the what. And the what is, hey, we're on the right side of the equation in,
yeah,
college athletics.
Right.
The SEC is a leader. I don't know about this alliance. I really don't know what it means.
None of us
think
do yet.
I think it's reactionary to the strength of the SEC. And so you said, okay, in the heat of the moment, okay, we don't like the how. We're emotional about it. You get caught off guard or whatever. But you take a step. Okay, the what? Let's go. We've been ready. We're building it. We're playing at a high level. Look at what Jimbo's doing. Look at our other sports. It's like, hey, times are changing. Let's bring it on.
You're one of the haves. There's no question about that.
Right.
So we've seen so many the pods. Okay.
Yeah.
You, LSU, the two Mississippi schools. You've,
yeah,
seen.
You said you've seen.
We've seen.
And
this.
You've heard.
I've heard this. That's what I'm saying.
Right,
that's
right,
what,
right,
I'm asking,
right,
you.
Right.
Have you heard this too?
We haven't seen anything final. So we had an athletic director meeting last week. We always meet this time of year, mid August, kind of prepare for the seasons, get the academic years off to the right start. And so we talked about scenarios, and we talked about a lot of things. We talked about 8 games, 9 games, 10 games, pods, divisions, and really what it's all about. I think all the other athletic directors would agree with this, that how do you create variety? We need variety. Not playing Georgia here yet in Kyle Field, that doesn't make sense. We've been in the league now 10 years. That doesn't,
well, you
make
never
sense,
played,
right?
Georgia here?
Not here. Not here.
Yeah.
How's,
right,
that possible?
But that would happen every 4 years in the pod system.
And so – variety. Let's get more variety.
Right.
Let's get more,
yeah,
rotation. How do you keep fan interest? Hey, look, we have 103,000 seats. How do we make sure that stadium is full every single Saturday with variety, with matchups. TV households aren't as important anymore, but eyeballs are important because people are watching on their devices and streaming. But how many people are watching? That's variety. That's matchups. And then postseason. How do you set yourself up for postseason? So if that's pods or divisions or, hey, here's the pod with Texas A&M and whoever's in it, we're all for whatever those scenarios are, which lead to those things that I described. And so we looked at some different models in terms of, hey, here's how you could set up pods with no names attached. We'll get into that this fall, and I think by next spring have an idea, okay, here's where it might be headed. And then it all depends on, does Texas and Oklahoma come in 25? 2025 is the date right now.
Well, I know John doesn't think so.
Do they come in early?
Yes.
Then that would probably dictate which direction you go, at least early on. So a lot to decide. And
do you honestly believe that it's not going to be until 25?
If I'm the remaining Big 12, I hold out as long as possible.
Yeah.
Right? But from a revenue standpoint.
Have to from a revenue standpoint.
So unless I think Oklahoma and Texas are going to pay the full freight.
Unless they're going to buy them out, which is possible.
But you know what?
I wouldn't give them a discount.
Right.
No.
Right?
No.
And so stay in as long as you can if you're the remaining Big 12 to maximize your revenue.
You got to feel, and speaking of the remaining Big 12.
That's just my opinion.
You got to you got to feel for them as they were at the table, and there's a lot of those teams that are right now are – they have no spot. They got nowhere.
Yeah, I've talked to four or five athletic directors in the Big 12. All colleagues, we're all friends, and you know they're trying to find out what the pathway forward is and how does all this work, because they want to stay relevant at the highest level of college athletics. The autonomy five, power five label, they need to be able to keep that, and so they're trying to figure out what is the pathway. What's the Pac-12 has said by the end of the week, they plan on announcing whether they're expanding or not. To me, their options are Big 12 opponents or Big 12 programs. What does the Big 10 do? Doesn't look like they're going to do anything right now. So I know the Big 12, the remaining members, they should have a seat at the table. There are some great programs there, and hopefully it works out for them.
It's yeah, it does. I do feel for them. I think that, you know, with revenue streams, I think that the interesting thing is going to be, I don't think revenue streams are as clearly defined moving forward. And I say this from having conversations personally outside of just the radio show with some things that I'm involved in. And when you talk to people, you find out how to engage individual consumers who are not at the game, but create a revenue model for them. Is there going to be broadcast stuff on, you know, can the SEC network? I'm working with a player tracking company who they can track player information. They're completely markerless. No, you don't have to wear anything. They're out of Sweden. And their whole thing is that they can turn around the data in 1 to 3 seconds.
Yeah,
well, all of a sudden, that can be on a broadcast, or it can be disseminated to a fan base.
Like the analytics is being used in baseball right now.
Yeah, you're going to have the exact same idea
and
the concept.
Velo and everything else.
Instead of getting it at the end of a drive or at the end of this, well, okay, so if you have this available, now you've got things that you can sell to a fan base who's ravenous for that kind of stuff, but they want it on their mobile devices.
Right.
And so how do you come up with, you know, I think that's all out there. And that's why I think that this is going on, because that pie, and especially, and I don't know how the wagering is going to affect college football, but I think there's a lot of money that's going to be interjected, and how you get a piece of that pie is going to be important.
Oh, I think so too. I think the technology piece, I mean, just look at what we did last year. Normally, this would have taken like a 3 to 5 year process to go straight to digital ticketing, where every ticket is on somebody's mobile device, and then we went straight to cashless concessions.
COVID.
Mm-hmm.
That would have never happened.
So COVID sped that up for
you. So the technology piece, to your point, that's coming. My son, he doesn't even know what a $5 bill is. Like, he's like, Dad, what is that?
They only know hundreds.
Like, what is cash?
Because of their mother.
What is
because
cash?
It's all on their phone.
Exactly.
It's a debit card.
You just take your phone and scan it.
To your point,
good.
We need to capitalize on that technology.
Right.
And I think data to give fans, you know, info will be important.
So are we moving toward, you mentioned Power 5, you mentioned conferences, are we moving toward one big 64, 68, 72 team Division One?
I think that's somewhat far-fetched, at least at this stage right now, John. Here's what I think is the next step. We're going through this constitutional convention where the NCAA has announced we want to review the Constitution. They formed a committee, 28 members. The membership is a little probably diverse than what we would want. There's only 7 FBS representation on that committee.
Mm.
the rest are division, and I played Division II football, great experience, but can they really relate to what Texas A&M needs? Or, you know, so we'll see what the Constitutional Convention, really what the output is.
Is that what you're calling, or is that what it's called?
No, that's what it's called, yeah. So we need to see what the outcome of that is. What does governance look like? What does the NCAA say, hey, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to have the conferences do it.
Mm-hmm. Or what happens? When do the conferences say, we don't want you anymore?
So I think that would not happen until you go through this review process. Because the NCAA may say, hey, we want stronger. I doubt it. Or they may say, hey, we want the conferences to. So until that happens, I don't think anybody can say it's the 64 or it's the 41 that the alliance created 41 and here we are going to be at 16. I don't think anyone can say that yet until you know, what's the NCAA going to do? What's the future of that organization? Mm-hmm. What kind of governance do they want to have?
Well, they're trying to reestablish themselves, but we'll see what happens.
No, let's reestablish themselves. Okay, yeah. Let me ask you this. Are you happy with the way the NCAA has handled NIL? With Tate going, just stepping back and not doing a thing?
I've been around several NCAA committees over the last 5 to 6 years, my previous stop at Ole Miss and here at A&M. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about NIL for 6 years. We could have done something before the California bill was passed. We could have done something.
Get out in front.
These
of
things
it,
have been on the table. We were reactionary to cost of attendance way back in 2012 and 13. That became an issue. We've been reactionary on a lot of these lawsuits. So the lack of identity, the lack of leadership has put us in this spot where everybody's going, what the heck is going on? Where is the leadership? Should the conferences That's why the alliance came into be, because it was a reactionary move. So there's just a lot of things that have happened because I think there's just been a void. And so a lot of my colleagues, presidents, commissioners were all frustrated at the national level. So in some ways it's a good thing that we're doing this constitutional review. Mm. So we can actually maybe get some things on the table to make the right kind of change.
And yet Emmert was just reelected.
Reappointed.
But the reactionary thing is that you're so dead on with that because I felt like, you know, you can't let it get to a point where if you had done things in advance, you stem the tide, you control it a little bit more, but once you let it get to the gates, you're not going to be able to keep
action
it out of the gates.
Instead
it's
of
just,
reaction.
It's just there's no proactivity with the NCAA. No. There never has been. And that's why when they say they're going to reimagine how they do things, they're going to have to be really honest with themselves, I think, if they want to be successful.
That's right. No doubt.
Ross Bjork, hey, congratulations. You're one of the halves. There's no question about that.
Appreciate
it must be a good time to be
absolutely
here.
We're excited.
Baseball. I know a lot of people are excited about
Coach
baseball.
Schlossnagel's doing a great job.
How's Buzz going to do?
I tell you what, you just look at the physical nature of our roster now. Mm. We got some guys. I mean, I've watched some practices, some workouts. We just look totally – we got size, we got length, we got athleticism. He flipped that. Look, the transfer portal can taketh, right? But it can give.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And in our case, it gave a lot. And I think Buzz is going to be silently excited, kind of cautious.
He got
optimism.
Great. He just added a great recruiter. You know who he added, don't you?
Rock. He's going to join us.
He's got Steve the Rock.
He's coming this morning.
Is he coming over this morning?
Yeah. Rock's coming.
Rock's
coming.
Jimbo broke some news, huh, this morning?
We're happy for it. We're like, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't remember ever hearing that he's a starter, but maybe I just didn't read it.
And Pat Henry's going to join us as well.
Okay. Legendary coach. We got some great coaches.
You got a Hall of Famer there.
No We're question. Very blessed at A&M. Exciting times ahead. So thank
Ross
you guys.
Bjork right here, ESPN 90. It's all under your leadership, too.
We're trying.
It's amazing.
That's all we can do.
It's amazing.
One day at a time.
Right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got to talk right now. Richmond and Chimney Rock. Pete's My Meats. Did you hear Jeff Bagwell yesterday? Did you hear Jeff Bagwell?
Yeah, he mentioned Michael texted me. He goes, Lance, Jeff Bagwell just mentioned me on the air. Because Bagwell gets a lot of his steaks from Pete's Fine Meats.
Well, Bag's waiting for the call, whether or not he's going to be called up to the major leagues. And Michael's calling him. And he goes, he answers the phone. He goes, hey, it's Michael from Pete's. And don't call me right now.
You mean Hall of Fame.
It's a Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. And it was like, holy cow, unbelievable. You can't call me right now. Yeah. So, anyway, Michael has been doing this, and he does it with the Jeff Bagwells, and he does it with us, and he does it with everybody. And what he does is he gets you the best meat at the best price. You will
Dustin,
love him.
Our guy Dustin goes in all the time, our listener. And The Tri-Blend burgers are great, but if you want a steak, he'll cut it for you the thickness that you want right there in front of you. They've got actual real Kobe beef with certificate if you were looking to really ball out. But just things like bacon-wrapped quail and bacon-wrapped shrimp for your tailgates. He's got all your tailgate food there, your ribs, the spatchcock chicken. He can do that for you as well, prepare it for you. Having your own butcher is really a big deal because you can get things exactly the way you like it, and that's what they're doing over there at Pete's Fine Meats, Richmond and Chimney Rock. Stop in and tell them Lance and John sent you.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by Destination Brian. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. Working on getting some guys in here. 713-780. If you've got a comment, you're an Aggie, you're not an Aggie. Like Lamont says, what's this stuff about A&M being the class of Texas? Listen, this program is the class of Texas, and it's not even close right now. University of Texas has been... Who's even in a class with Texas A&M right now in the state? TCU, Baylor, Tech? Who? I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close. And football rules, Lamont. I mean, how in the world is this even a thought? We'll see what happens with basketball here because Texas basketball obviously has been pretty better, but. But as far as football goes, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. It's not even arguable. Texas has been mediocre in the Big 12.
It's to the conversation with Ross, it's changing. We're in the middle of flux right now, and we don't know when Texas and Oklahoma are actually going to make their move. They say 2025. We don't know what's going to happen with the other conferences. You know, the little kid side of me that's growing up loving football and sports and all this, I don't love a lot of these changes. I think they feel unnecessary and completely driven by cash, if I'm being honest. And I think I don't think I'm inaccurate, obviously. But when you get past your own personal feelings and you say, okay, all right, that's fine. I'm glad you feel that way, or I'm sorry you feel that way. Now what? Well, once you get past all your own personal feelings and you say, now what? Well, now you got to figure it out. And there's a big-ass chunk of pie that's going to be out there, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger from a cash standpoint. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to figure out you're going to have to figure out what the next iteration of college football is going to look like. Because it's not going to look the way that it's looked for decades and decades. Actually, it hasn't looked the same way in decades and decades. I mean, the BCS, just the BCS coming along and the playoffs, those are big changes. Now it's a new phase. Now it's like tier three. It's 3.0 college football, which is going to be a reshuffling of conferences, a reshuffling of TV deals and things like that. We see ESPN is getting hot and heavy on the SEC now. And so, you don't have to like change, but you better figure out how change is going to be dealt with or how you're going to deal with the change, because I don't love the way that there's lots of patches all over stuff for advertising and naming rights. But that's here to stay. It's not going to change. These changes in college football are here to stay. Nothing's going to change. They're never going to revert back. You're not going to go backwards. So what do you do now that all these changes are going to happen? I think that, unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be 64. I never really have. I think it's going to be more like a 48 if I'm just staying with kind of just basically easy numbers to work with. I think there are going to be teams like Baylor that Baylor's going to turn into SMU, meaning Baylor squeezed out of this equation. I think that there's a chance that, we'll see what happens with Iowa State. It seems like an easy call to just throw them in the Big Ten. I don't know what the Big Ten's going to look like. And you have the state of Iowa with Iowa. Even if Iowa State's a better football program, that's great in basketball. But, is Iowa, because they're in with the Big Ten, are they going to be more powerful? And are they going to bring Iowa State along? And then we may have state battles like that where governors get involved. Like, hey, you have to take this other team. I think it's fascinating in a regard, but I think it's still going to be a mess. I still think there's a lot of things to left to go, and I think litigation is going to play into it. We talked about Ross Bjork brought it up. Well, you brought it up when you said, "What if they get out early?" Like and Ross Bjork's an AD, and he's like, "I ain't let him off the hook financially. That's our money. Like no. They need that money.
They're going to come
so
up
if
with
you
the
want to buy, yeah, you want to buy out Oklahoma and Texas. I mean, and you think Texas is going to go, "Hey SEC, could you help us out here?" You know what they're going to say? We ain't helping you none. We're already helping you, bringing you in.
Yeah.
So you figure it out. All money bags, Texas.
75 will be 1 year. It won't even. It's not even a year of.
Is that what it is? Is that what's due?
It's $75 million. Yeah, to get out.
Come on,
Texas.
They've got
OU.
They got
a that's
donor.
A little harder for OU.
We can have.
And they
one
can't
of your
do
guys.
It without him. They can't do it without him. Oh, Wallace Marsh?
Well, Wallace Marsh could
Wallace
write that
Marsh
check.
Just come up with 75.
He could write that. You get 10 guys, like, you know.
Boss.
Sorry, Wallace. How much are my tickets this year? Wallace could say, how much are my tickets? Oklahoma is going to say, $7 million. $7
million?
Yeah, you know, part of a buyout. Part of a buyout package we're working
come
on.
Come on, Wallace.
I don't want to pay
up your wallet, Rich
million?
Boy. Yeah, yeah. Open up your wallet. 713-780-3776. Good conversation with Jimbo and Ross Bjork. Sharp, but Ross is a sharp guy. Really, really sharp guy. Good leadership here going on. Justin Moore, I hope, is going to be able to join us a little bit later. He's a guy that got his start football ops guy at University of Houston, and he's worked his all way up to deputy athletic director here. I believe he had a chance. I think he's had a chance to be an athletic director somewhere else, and he turned it down just to be here, to not go anywhere because he's all in on this Ags thing, and you can't blame him. It's going pretty good right now. The SEC move was there's no question it changed the world here at Texas A&M, and now you know yeah like you
changed
said
changed the world.
Well, it changed the Aggie world.
Oh, okay,
yeah, it changed the Aggie world. There's no question about that. And like you said, felt bad for Ross Bjork was put in an unenviable situation, finding out from the media and his initial reaction about Texas and Oklahoma was, I certainly can understand it. No, we don't want him. Well, of course we don't want him.
No, we left for this very reason.
But I'm telling you this. You do this pod system where you play the three teams in your pod every year.
That's pretty intriguing to me.
And then two teams from each of the other three pods. That's a 9-game schedule.
And I didn't say the college football fan in me is excited about that.
You get Texas every other year. Every 4 years, they come to your place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a model that I don't think is arguable that this would be so. Can you, like, every weekend, we were talking about this on the way up here. Oklahoma's playing Florida. Alabama's playing Texas. Even Tennessee versus A&M. I mean, all of these games, Georgia and A&M, which they don't play on a regular. Now they're playing every other year, and every fourth year they're at each other's place.
What happens to – here's a question for you. I just
and
started
Florida,
thinking about
Texas A&M and Florida playing every other
what
year.
What happens – well, so Florida and Georgia still have the cocktail party. What happens if Texas and Oklahoma does every – so if they're not playing every year, does that change – do they take it away from the state fair? Is that does it turn into a home and away then? Does it turn into a true home and away?
Probably.
Wow, that's a lot of tradition being lost.
Yeah. Well, there hasn't been one. What do you mean tradition being
no,
lost?
No, Texas, Oklahoma.
Oh, Texas, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh, they play every year. They're in the same pod.
Well,
they play. They play.
Well, are you sure? Because I thought the pod I saw didn't have them.
No.
Are you
Texas,
sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Missouri.
Yeah, but that hasn't even been decided yet.
It
though,
will
has
be.
It
will be.
Because that would make
Texas
sense.
Texas and
keep
Oklahoma
it.
Are coming over together. They're going
to
be.
That would make sense to keep it there, so you keep that. So you keep that.
Yeah,
tradition. That tradition in
yeah,
place.
Absolutely.
That would make a lot of sense. Because
yeah.
I thought I had heard a pod where they were apart, and if that were the case, then that would kind of hurt the opportunity to do that.
No, they're in the same. That, everything I've seen, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas.
It would make sense.
It makes
yeah.
a lot of sense.
That makes the most sense.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776. Working on getting some players in here. Hopefully that'll get done. They've got to practice. They got to be at a meeting at 9:15. So hopefully we can get that job done over the next couple of segments. In the meantime, I want to talk about CCA Texas. on September 13th. They're going to be at Wildcat Golf Club. It's a tournament packed with prizes, raffle, a silent auction, lots of fun. If you're somebody that is a fisherman, if you love to fish, hey, you got to support the CCA Texas. Don't wait. Call. Get in on this. And if you can't play in the tournament or you're not a golfer, then you can go. You can call or go to the CCATexas.org and you can donate. But this is making awareness of the CCA Texas and what it does. Kyrish Truck Centers has stepped up and sponsored this event. If you want to be in it, call 713-626-4222. 713-626-4222 and sign up and be part of it and donate. Texas, the CCA Texas does so much for the entire state and everything that has to do with fishing. If you fish in this state, then you should be part of this week, next week. 713-626-4222 or ccatexas.org.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by Destination Brian. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The decision on Bregman is that, you know, you can finally stop asking me. He's playing tomorrow.
There he is, Dusty, announcing it last night that Alex Bregman, you can stop asking me now, all right? You can stop asking me. He's playing tomorrow. Stop already with your stuff. I'm busy. I'm busy beating up on the Royals. So, Tucker activated. Urquidy looked great last night. Bregman in the lineup today. Things are looking good again for your Houston Astros. Maybe, just maybe, they won't get beat by the Rangers, get the snot beat out of them this weekend by the Rangers. We'll see. But guys got to get back into a rhythm. Guys got to get back into a rhythm, and it's tough to just get off the bench as long as they have been and start hitting major league pitchers. Bregman started to do it at Sugar Land, but that's not major league pitching. And Urquidy's getting guys out at Sugarland, that's not major league hitters. Although you could argue that some of the lineups that are beating the Astros, maybe he faced better lineups than those down there. But it's good to see getting healthy again at about the right time. You know, we talk about guys being tired at the end of. Hey, Tucker won't be tired. Bregman won't be tired. You know, maybe Carlos Correa. Carlos is looking really good at the plate right now.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos is on it again. Carlos is so streaky. There is an article here of the top free agents coming into this offseason. Okay. Freddie Freeman, the defending National League MVP. Kevin Gausman, who's leading the Giants.
I like Gausman. Gausman's going to get paid.
Marcus Semien, who was an all-star. Trevor Story, Chris Bryant, Corey Seager, Carlos Correa. They've got Correa, the number one free agent acquisition.
That sucks. So, but he got a low key. He was, when his average is coming back down, like, nice. Play yourself into a $25 million a year contract.
So was it yesterday that you were saying about Everson Griffin? Hey, listen, Everson Griffen, the grass isn't greener on the other side.
Yeah, so.
That was yesterday, right?
Everson said that.
Into a promo on our air, and we heard it on the way up.
Oh.
And I told my guy.
Do you know they've already turned the Jimbo Fisher thing around?
Oh, they have that, really?
Yeah, there's a whole thing with me and you doing our little radio pose, and they got the audio beneath it. Somebody did a hell of a job. Was it Aaron?
Is it already a promo?
Michael Carroll? Somebody did it, yeah.
Well,
it's not a promo, but they retweeted it. But there's already – yeah,
well,
but that's true. The grass isn't greener, Carlos.
Aaron can come back with that, one of these, and turn it into a 30-second promo. Jimbo talking about – this is where you hear the breaking news on your Aggies radio station.
That's right.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right? So, that's – you know what? Jimbo Fisher, for those of you that didn't hear, has named Haynes King And suck on it, Luch. We got it first.
We don't have to tell people to suck on it. We're not. Look, ESPN 97.5, they already created a headline.
Look at that. Sorry, Luch. I'm going to retweet that. Headline. Sorry, Luch.
What are you in a fight with Billy Lucci for?
I love Luch. He's in he didn't come here because he's in Dallas. So go to Dallas and miss out on the news and lose out on the breaking story.
Hey, you know what's sad to me? This whole Dale Curry and Sonya Curry thing.
You see
is
what's
sad.
Happened?
Yeah, it's ugly. It's ugly. You thought it might be. I kind of assumed it would be.
I thought it would be the other way around.
No, it's actually kind of both from what I understand.
Yeah, right.
It's both. Supposedly, she got kicked out of the house for dilly-dallying.
With Stephen Johnson, the former tight end for the Patriots.
That's who it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephen Johnson?
Yeah,
who's
and look
that?
At him. Look at him right now.
Wait. That's Stephen Johnson?
Yeah,
the guy in the middle? That's an investment banker of some sort.
Yeah. That's what he might be now.
I heard that it was with the younger guy.
No, it's Stephen Johnson. Well, he's younger than Dell.
She's living with somebody else. It's just a whole thing. And you know what
Stephen
sucks?
Johnson.
You know what sucks is I was reading Robert Latall from Black Sports Online, and he had a whole thing. We're still working on the information here about exactly what's happening, how much Steph knew, because it looks like their dad may have been cheating too, so how much Steph knew and how much Seth knew. And all I could think of was, man, that poor family, why is this anyone's business? Why is Robert Latall?
Well, he's putting it out there now.
No, I understand. Well, he's put it out there because they had it. He's not putting it out there. He filed. They're getting into divorce in court.
No. He's quoted as saying.
He isn't Del Curry?
Del Curry.
Well, he's being quoted from these court documents, right?
Said, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. They're putting all the court documents out there like it's everyone's business and then saying, well, I wonder how much Steph and Seth knew. We'll try to get to the bottom of this. Isn't that, it's so slimy that this is a family's business. And I don't care if they play in the NBA. Like, it sucks that you're talking about their mom and dad this way and then you're going to go digging around because, you know, you got to get the gossip. Man, this is these guys' lives. It's super slimy. And all the stuff, they're not talking to anybody, though. That's all from court documents that they're taking it from.
That's true.
I feel bad. I feel bad in a way for all the Currys. But and then you see guys, as soon as that came out, Twitter, all these guys, random Twitter shooting their shots at Sonya Curry. It's Sonya Curry. Like, hey, girl, what is there with Mark Jackson? Is there a thing with Mark Jackson? Because why is Mark Jackson a thing where everyone's talking about they're taking pictures of Mark Jackson, they're putting him on Spice Adams, you know, where he's looking around the tree, rubbing his hands, that whole look. Mm-hmm. They're putting Mark Jackson's face on this. What are we doing? Why are we doing – why is Mark Jackson?
Well, if you want to know the truth, Sonya or Aisha? Sonya. I mean –
I think you're way I get that you might not like Aisha Curry, but let's just not go completely crazy.
When your mom is hotter than your wife,
that's
it's a problem.
I don't know that that's the case. Once again, you're very disrespectful of
Aisha's. I'm not disrespectful.
IG, of her
IG
account.
Being disrespectful of Sonya.
No, I think she's – yeah. No, she's strong.
Yeah.
Same age as Cindy Crawford.
Yeah. No, she's still going good. And – you know,
she's not out there putting those swimsuit pictures like
Stephen Johnson. I didn't see that.
That's not.
I might have saw some young actor or something.
That gives a lot of you divorced dads out there hope.
Can we not overlook the fact that John just said he wants that Steph Curry probably thinks his mom is hotter than his wife?
Yeah.
Like, is that not wrong?
No, he thinks that. I said
it's a fact.
It's a problem. Yeah.
You're saying it's a statement of fact.
It's a fact.
Yeah, why you Oedipus complex shame?
Yeah, hey. No. Well, you should Oedipus complex shame people. You shouldn't have an Oedipus complex. No one's accusing him of that. But it is.
I don't even think it's arguable.
When you get it, you don't think it's arguable?
No.
Come on, John.
No, I don't think it's arguable.
I know why. I already know why.
I think she's prettier than she is. I think she's prettier than Aisha.
Sonya, both of them are good.
Yeah. No, that's all.
Both of them are good.
It's not like I'm going for it. All I'm saying is It's hard. It's a hard thing.
Both of them are good.
That's I you know what? I told JT, you better find a good one.
Oh, you can't have the water.
A nice one.
You can't
and
have
you,
the
you
water.
What? You better tell Alec that, too.
You can't have the water burger and the water
better
chicken.
Tell Alec that. You better find a good-looking girl. Water. Because you don't want people thinking Alec's your mom
got
is.
Alec's got his first girlfriend.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Is she hotter than your wife? Than
no.
Nicole? Okay, that's a problem.
How do you want me to answer that? That's the dumbest question you ever. That's the biggest setup of all time. No. She's great. She's great, but no. I'm good with my wife. So I can't play this game. I should have never even waded into the water because shark attack. Johnny shark, 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 Johnny shark, shark.
Oh, that is so funny.
I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. No. That's your problem. That's a problem you're having right now. 713-780.
Ask Rossi Bjork what his favorite saloon in Dodge City is? No, that's not a question we're asking the AD. Rossi Bjork does not sound like somebody who would have been in Dodge City. That doesn't sound like a Dodge City name.
I had other ones. The questions that these people think we should be asking is they're ridiculous. They're ridiculous. 713-780-3776. It doesn't seem like he – now, for those of you that didn't hear, you need to go back and listen to the Ross Bjork. Doesn't feel like he's got a lot of confidence in Mark Emmert and the NCAA.
So I'll be Ross. You ask the question. You ask the question. Go ahead.
Like, how did Mark Emmert get, like...
No, you said, So they even reelected Mark
Emmert? Yeah, right.
Here, I'll be Ross Bjork.
Okay.
And this is an exact reenactment.
Yeah, and Mark Emmert just got reelected.
Yep. That's how he did it.
Yeah.
It did not sound like he was co-signing Mark
Emmert's...
No, it
didn't seem like he was big. It was like he was high on Mark Emmert, okay?
It did not.
No, and he said the lack of leadership, the lack of being proactive. This is why we are. We've been meeting, he said, for 6 years on NIL, and they've done absolutely nothing. They have not put out guidelines. I got a call from a guy that wants to be a booster and wants to help a school. And he said, so what are the rules? And I said, there are no rules. There's zero rules. Nothing. The NCAA has done boop, 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 nothing. That's how proactive the NCAA has been. When he could have, and we had the guys in studio, they said, you know, they could have put out something that said, here's how you should approach this, or anything. When in fact, they just totally ignored everything. And they said, okay, we'll just let it happen. And just and let the Wild West go to hell in a handbasket. All right. Hopefully, we're working on getting players in here. They're busy getting ready, and they're getting weenies.
Ready for what?
They're in what we like to call camp right now.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. So right now, though, I'm talking about Chastain Ford and my people over there. And you know what? The dealerships aren't made up. It's not about cars. It's not about bottom. It's not about money. It's about people. And I'm going to tell you this, I really do. I really appreciate it. And anytime you're dealing with a business, you know, that we talk about this with the plumbing business, and we really like those people. And I talk about this with the car business, and I really, really like those people, and they're people that you can trust. And I knew that they worked as hard as they possibly could on my deal with Ford and got everything they possibly could. And the most important thing was for me, immediately, it was, where do your payments have to be? And, you know, what can we do? And we're going to get you the most car that we possibly can for those payments. And right now they say come in or just go online at ChastainFord.com and customize your vehicle. And then we'll have that delivered. The car industry has been tough. They knew because of the chips and everything else, it's really been difficult to manufacture cars, but it's coming around. And listen, what you want at Chastain Ford is get that car, that Ford car or truck exactly as you want it. And you can do that right now. At ChastainFord.com. They'll help you along the way, and they won't add anything on. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You're listening.
listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Texas A&M's Bright Complex. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, presented by Destination Brian. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks to Destination Brian for their hospitality on our visit to Aggieland. They set us up with great accommodations at the Stella Hotel. Dinner at all the King's Men Barbecue. Both are fantastic. So if you're coming to Aggieland, get started at DestinationBrian.com.
Very nice of them to do that.
Yeah, what did you eat last night?
I got in late. I couldn't.
Oh, you
I got screwed over because I had to go get school supplies.
Tyler, did you eat there?
I did eat there. We had
Tyler got in a meat. He got put in a meat coma.
We were forced into a meat coma at all the King's Men had pulled pork. Basically,
I hate
everything
you guys so very,
except
very
for the
much.
Ribs. It was delicious. Very good stuff. Get the Alabama white sauce with the brisket. That's the recommendation.
Oh no, I'm going by after this.
Yeah, do it
when we're done here. That's where I'm rolling.
So we're in Aggieland. We're talking some. We just talked to Ross Bjork about the basketball program. Joining us, assistant basketball coach Steve Rockford. I want you to do me a favor, really quickly, as fast as you can. Name all your stops along the way in order:
Centenary, Tulane, University of Wyoming, University of Memphis, Lamar assistant, Lamar head coach, assistant at University of South Florida, assistant at Virginia Tech, assistant at East Carolina.
Did you say Wyoming already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
98 to 2000.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
See, I remember where I was by where my kids were born.
That's a good one.
My oldest daughter was born at Tulane, Victoria. My son Lucian was born at Wyoming, and my youngest daughter Sophia was born when I was the head coach at Lamar. So then East Carolina, now Texas A&M.
So wait, so you don't remember it? You don't have Astros as like guidelines, guide markers?
Where were you in 17 when they won it?
I was at game 7. I'll show you the pictures in a minute.
What school were you at?
I was at Virginia Tech.
You were at Virginia Tech.
So you want to hear that story?
Yeah.
It's a good story.
You were recruiting
in
L.A.?
No, it's a Buzz story.
Oh.
So Buzz knows I like the Astros because I follow him all the time, always wearing Astros stuff.
Like the Astros?
Well, okay, he knows I love them.
Yeah.
So me and my son in Blacksburg, Virginia, watch game 6. Remember how long the game was?
Yeah, we remember.
So the next morning at 6 o'clock, Buzz calls me and he says, "Are the Astros in game 7? I go, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, you got to go." I said, "Buzz, it's 6 a.m. We're in Blacksburg, Virginia right now. It's in Los Angeles."
Wait, this is the day of the game? Of game 7?
The morning of the game.
Holy. Yeah. So I said, "And I got to take my son to school." He says, "Take Luke to school. Come by the office. We'll have it ready for you." So I drop my son off, come by the office. The girl that ran the office says, "Go to the Roanoke Airport. There's a ticket for you."
Holy crap.
I fly from Roanoke to D.C., D.C. to L.A., take a Uber. And with the Uber, when we started getting closer to Dodger Stadium, you know, it's like jammed up. And the guy was like, "Can you get off right here?" I said, "I have an Astro hat on. Do you see where we are? I can't get off right here. But you got to take me all the way to the stadium." And walked up and got my ticket.
How long did that trip take to get from the airport to the stadium? How long was that?
From the airport to the stadium?
You're flying across the country, and you flew to D.C.?
From your
start. Oh, you went to D.C.?
Yeah. So I went Roanoke to D.C., D.C. to L.A.,
yeah.
Landed, got
Uber.
There, sat in my seat.
It was about 7 hours.
Yeah, and sat in my seat. I had a nacho, an ice cream sandwich, a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Sat down and watched Springer, whoever it was, double right off the bat, right in the middle of all the Dodgers.
You're in the seats. You're in the seats by the first pitch.
Doing like
nobody
this.
Nobody punched you in the head? Not one?
No, I made friends with them.
You did?
You got too early.
Yeah, and then the coolest thing about it was at the end of the game, there was probably 400 or 500 Astros fans sprinkled into where I was sitting.
Yeah.
And so everybody stayed. So we were all talking. Most of them were from Houston. And the security in Dodger Stadium came up to us and said, "Hey, do y'all want to get close to the field? Do you want to get closer to the field?" And we said, "Yeah, so you can see them get the trophy." Yeah. And they took us down a back staircase and walked us down to the field.
No way.
Really?
Yeah,
awesome.
Saw that guy.
Foxy.
Saw this guy.
He was carrying a ring.
Yeah.
And he was the ring bearer.
And he left a ticket for me.
Oh, he did?
He left a ticket for me. And
I was going to ask you, how'd you get a ticket that short, that close?
Fox.
Ask him.
Yeah.
Fox did it.
And the person in front of me in line said, hey, I have a ticket. They said, let me see your driver's license. They broke it out, couldn't find the ticket. Then I walked up, and the guy's like, hey, what's the deal? Gave him my license, said, give me my ticket, man. I don't know what happened with this guy, why he's up here trying to get a ticket, but I got a ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw Giles Kibbe.
Oh, you did?
I grew up with Giles. Giles's parents and my parents were really good friends when I was growing up. And so I saw him on the field. Mm-hmm. And then Giles was on the field walking around. He's walking up, and I'm standing on the aisle, and Giles says, Rock, is that you? And I said, yeah. He said, are you still at Virginia Tech? I said, yeah. He said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm watching us win the championship, brother.
Lifelong Astros fan. Yeah. You got a chance to go see. Yeah. You got a chance to go see that.
So we get to see you about once every 7 years. How long ago did I saw you see you at the Rockets game?
Yeah, and that's what I told Buzz yesterday. I said, Buzz, I said, those guys that we met in Houston are doing a radio show. And he's like, what guys? I said, the ones we met, I thought it was a Mexican restaurant. It could have been a Chinese restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So he comes in with that guy again.
Yeah.
Comes in and meets y'all. Then y'all start coming outside. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then we went to the basketball game.
Yep.
And the Astros were playing at the same time.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a lot going on. So you were – as a lifelong Astros fan, now you're getting to follow him here at Texas A&M.
How about that?
Now, you were a guy who you've been there doing the big-time recruiting with Calipari at Memphis. You know, you've been through the whole – you understand how all this stuff is going on. I did not realize – Ross Bjork told us that the transfer portal treated you guys well. I had no idea to what extent. Why don't you tell people what A&M basketball is going to look like now?
Well, and I don't think normal people – understand how hard last year was, you know, because of COVID. I wasn't here, but I was at East Carolina University, and I know what the struggle was with COVID. You know, as a coach, as players, you get into routines, and when your routines are interrupted, it's not good. It's not good for consistency. It's not good for winning. And it was really hard. I mean, I think I counted last year. We were tested, or I was tested over 315 times. Last year.
Wow.
And that's hard.
In
you know?
1 year.
In one, yeah, from the start
yeah.
to the finish.
Like every day.
So I think whenever you don't play as well as you'd like to play and things don't go the way that you want to play, then you have to make changes. And I think what Buzz and what these guys that were here last year did, they started a process of trying to turn the roster over in Texas A&M's favor, and I think they did a really, really good job. There'll be 11 new guys that didn't play last year. So, you know, the guys that really fit what they're doing, they're returning, and we have 11 players that we think, you know, fit into what we're doing. So it's going to be fun. I like the guys that are here.
Who are they? Tell us what we're looking forward to.
The players?
Yeah.
Marcus Williams, the guard from Wyoming, who's from Dickinson, I think he's going to be a really good player for Buzz. You know, I look at how we played when I was at Virginia Tech and then the guys that fit in at Virginia Tech. He reminds me a lot of Seth Allen, who was a transfer from Maryland that we had right at the start at Virginia Tech. He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He can score. He can shoot. Henry Coleman, the transfer from Duke. We had recruited him really, really hard at Virginia Tech when he was an underclassman. His dad played football for Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech. I think he's just a high-energy, really hard-playing, tough guy that fits what Buzz does. I think all those guys are going to help. Ethan Henderson from Arkansas, Javonte Brown, transferred from UConn at the semester but didn't play last year. The high school kids, Ashton Smith, Wade Taylor, Manny Obaseki. I mean, all those guys, they seem to fit what Buzz is doing. The last two guys, Tyrese Radford and Jalen Johnson, I think those are guys that fit the style of play that Buzz likes to play. So, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
There's some things that we need to talk to you about, but we got to take a quick break. 8:57 ESPN 97. Can you hang for another segment?
I'll stay as long as you want.
Okay.
I want to ask about NIL because you've been in the middle of all that stuff.
I want to know about Daddy and Mama Z, but we'll talk about that later.
I know Rock since
you talk about that.
Didn't you tell me that John was going to have a second colonoscopy today and that you were going to be getting in that ass?
Well, hey, he talked.
Is that just us talking?
Yeah, that was me and Z talking. I said, does Granada know I'm coming tomorrow? And he's like, well, you know, he had a colonoscopy today. I said, well, he didn't know he's going to have a second one tomorrow when I show up.
Time to talk about being I'm the underdog here.
Yeah, you are.
I like his shirt, though.
Yeah. Underdogfantasy.com. That's a website for you. What a great site they've put together over there. They've got daily fantasy. They've got season-long fantasy. They've got it in all sports, but let me tell you about fantasy football that's coming up now. You've got season-long fantasy contests, including their Best Ball Mania 2, which has $3.5 million worth of prizes, $1 million for first place. And here's what you do. You take your team. You draft. It's actual drafts, not salary cap. You're going to draft against other people as soon as you sign up. It's $25. And you will have that team. That team is going to be available to you all year long. So there's no sit start. There's no waiver wire. Whoever your best scorers are at quarterback, at the running back spots, wide receivers, however you feel, you know, when the way the roster's filled out with the flex as well, that's going to be your score for the week. So what this allows you to do is take more shots on those more volatile players that have a chance for the big, big weekends as well. So if you're a skilled fantasy football owner, this is the contest for you, a chance to win $1 million. It's a $25 entry fee. You get $25 into your account when you make your first deposit when you use promo code RADIO. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code RADIO.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.